Hello, podcast listeners. This is Pastor Bob, and I want to say a quick word to those of you who listen to our sermon podcast who are outside of the Corumdale Church community. I want to ask for your help with a significant project that our church is undertaking during this Christmas season. I know that you listen to our podcast because you appreciate good biblical teaching, you appreciate sound theology, you appreciate culturally engaged mission, and in light of all those things, I hope that you'll consider being a part of our campaign to raise $800,000 by the end of January. Here's the story. We're seeking to purchase a building that is currently the Countryside Community Church building at 87th and Pacific Streets here in Omaha. And we're in the midst of a massive fundraising push to raise the capital to make a winning bid on that property. We want to invite your help in that. Now, again, I feel like this is sort of like one of those public radio fund drives. There's no obligation for you to give. We love putting this podcast out for free, but we also know that those of you who listen feel some sense of connection to our church, and so we want to put the opportunity in front of you. If you want to know more about this building, about the opportunity that's before us, and about how you can give, you can go to our website at cdomaha.com, and you'll find on that front page a 7-minute video where I explain the campaign, explain the opportunity, show you pictures of the building, and talk about how you can give. And I'd love it if this Christmas season you'd consider being a part of that if you're outside of the Corumdale Church community. So thanks for giving that some consideration, and I'd ask you to pray with us, especially as we pursue this opportunity. This building comes on the market in February, and we'd really love to see the Lord make it our future home in the city of Omaha. So thank you. Enjoy this week's sermon podcast.
The Corumdale Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 29. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. The word of God for the people of God.
Every year in this season, we remember the proclamation that the angels made to the shepherds that night in Bethlehem. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. And if you're like me, every year at this time, that proclamation, the reminder of those words from the angels, also stirs up some element of discontent, some element of skepticism. It stirs up perhaps the kind of sentiment reflected well in a song by U2 from about 15 years ago. Jesus, in the song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth. We hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth, this peace on earth? So here we are in Advent season talking about peace again. Meanwhile, in the Syrian city of Aleppo, 270,000 civilians are sifting through the trash for food as they bear the brunt of a civil war that's dragged on for years now. In northern Iraq, the Islamic State is systematically destroying the Yazidi people, a cultural minority who once numbered 500,000 and who are possibly the world's oldest civilization. In Italy, 170,000 migrants
have applied for asylum since the beginning of this year, including 23,000 unaccompanied minors. So yeah, peace on earth. We hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. If it's true that the birth of Jesus brought peace on earth, then why does the world look this way? That's the question I have. Perhaps it's a question you have too. And as I wrestle with that question, I'm also confronted with these words from the Irish poet Oliver Goldsmith. How small of all that human hearts endure, that part which laws and kings can cause or cure. See, when we think of peace on earth, we tend to think of the kind of peace that's secured by laws and kings. We think of structural peace, geopolitical peace, world peace. But isn't it true that the lack of peace in the world is really just an extension of the lack of peace in the human heart? Isn't it true that all the wars in the world are really just the wars of our hearts writ large? And so what if Jesus' way of bringing peace is personal before it's political? What if peace on earth starts with peace in our own souls? Might it be possible for us to be people of peace even in the midst of a world at war? That is, in fact, what Jesus offers, if we will wake up to it. Peace on earth starts with me, starts with you. And so this morning, I want us to consider these great words from Jesus about peace in the Gospel of John. And these words that he spoke to his disciples during his time on earth, we find them in John 14, verses 25 through 29, which you already heard read. And so, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to go to that text this morning. I want us to hear, I want us to ponder what Jesus says to us about peace, the kind of peace that he brings. I want to observe three things about peace that Jesus teaches us in John 14. Here's the first point, the first observation we can make. Peace is a gift. We must receive it. Peace is a gift, we must receive it. Look at John 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." So Jesus speaks here of peace as a gift that he gives. And he makes this interesting comparison. Not as the world gives. So there's a difference between how Jesus gives the gift of peace and how the world around us seeks to give the gift of peace. And so I think it invites us to step back and ask the question, how does the world around us offer peace? What is the world's solution to the question of peace? And if we could sum it up in a word, I think we just could say it this way. The world promises us circumstantial peace. The solution the world offers is a change in circumstances, that we would find peace if our circumstances were different. You don't need to look any further to see this than the holiday advertising that's all around us, right? It's now December, and most of the Christmas ads started before Thanksgiving. And if you ask this sort of question, what's the message being preached in holiday advertising? What's the peace being offered to us in what the world puts before us at this time of year? The answer is this: you will find peace, you will find happiness, you will find blessing, you will find relief in the purchase or the pursuit of X, right? I don't know what your favorite holiday ad is. Here's the one I like right now. The television commercial I like is the one where it's Christmas morning, obviously, and mom and dad like jump out of bed and they're super excited and they go wake their kids up and their kids are sleeping, and then they're like running out to the front driveway because there's a new Lexus out there with a bow on it, and so mom and dad are jumping up and down in the driveway, and then it pans to the kids and they're standing on the porch with coffee in their hands, just sort of shaking their heads. Right, sort of a reversal of the Christmas morning experience. I think that's a clever ad. But just think about, right, what is that ad saying? It's saying, oh, the Lexus in the driveway, that's what will bring peace or security or joy or happiness. That's what the season is about. And we only have to take that message and play it forward to see how hollow it is, right? Because in 5 years, your mechanic's going to call you about that Lexus, and he's going to say, hey, it's $500 or $600 for some new brakes. And on that day, it's going to cause a lack of peace, right? Like, that's, if we just see the message our culture is sending us, we just recognize, hey, there's something about this that doesn't quite satisfy the longing and the craving we have for peace. The peace the world gives is always circumstantial. It always revolves around a change in your situation. Jesus says, not that way do I give. My peace is different than that. My peace is deeper than that. My peace is more substantive than that. I think it's interesting to notice the phrasing of this text. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Well, where is Jesus going? Well, in this text, he's going to the cross. This conversation in John 14 takes place on the night Jesus was betrayed. So you can see what he's saying, right? He's saying, what I'm about to go and do is going to leave you a peace that you never thought possible. This past week at my gospel community gathering, one of the guys in our group was talking about some of the deep stuff in his soul. And he said, you know, I'm content with people only knowing 90% of me. And the reason is because if they knew the last 10%, I'm pretty sure they would reject me. And I stopped and asked, how many of you in the room feel that exact same thing? Everybody raised their hand. So I want you to think for a minute this morning about that last 10% in your life. The shameful and the secret and the hidden parts of you. The parts you feel like if people knew this part of me, they would reject me. They would judge me. They would separate themselves from me. Do you realize that as Jesus says, peace I leave with you. He's on the way to the cross to take into himself all of that. All the secret, shameful, broken, battered things in you and in your story. He's absorbing all of that into himself. And he says, now, my peace I leave with you. Friends, peace is a gift, and we must receive it. The receiving of it is a simple act of repentance and faith. It's turning from our tendencies to hide and to pretend and to cover up the parts of us that we find unsavory, and instead a willingness to say, Jesus, would you take all that? Here's all my sin and all my darkness and all my shame and all my brokenness. Would you take all that with you to the cross? I trust in you and I receive the gift of peace that you offer. Friends, the gift is the Lord Jesus himself. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the one we must receive. When he says, "My peace I leave you," he really means, because I'm going to go die for your sin, and then I'm going back to the Father, and I'm going to leave you with forgiveness, with freedom, with healing. Peace is a gift. We must receive it. But listen, it's worth noting here that there's a way of receiving Jesus in our culture that isn't really receiving him. You might say it this way. It's possible to receive the facts about Jesus without receiving Jesus. You know this, right? It's not the same thing. Notice what Jesus says. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Okay, so he's talking about a sort of communion with himself where his own peace becomes ours. Where the peace that Jesus knows and experiences is given to us and becomes ours. And if we back up one verse to verse 26, we can see more fully what he's talking about. Look at verse 26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." See, friends, receiving Jesus is a Trinitarian experience. The Son offers himself to reconcile us to the Father, who then sends the gift of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son to those who trust in the Son, catching them up into communion with the very life of the triune God himself. When we receive Jesus in the way Jesus himself is talking about, we receive also the Holy Spirit. And friends, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5, is what? Peace. So listen, if you've received Christ without receiving the Father and the Spirit, then you haven't received Christ. You've just received facts about Christ. So you may be here this morning and know Jesus died for sin, Jesus lived, Jesus taught, Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. You may know the data, the facts about Jesus, but listen to me. What Jesus is offering you is the gift of himself in all his fullness. And with him, relationship with the Father, and the presence and power and peace of the Holy Spirit. Peace is a gift. We must receive it. And so listen, if you know this morning, if you know the peace of soul that comes through the Holy Spirit, would you just pause right now and worship him? The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. And if you don't know that peace, if what I'm saying to you about experiencing the peace of Jesus the Son reconciling you to the Father and filling you with the gift of the Holy Spirit, if that seems like something that's foreign to you, would you open yourself right now to the Lord fully this morning? Would you say to him, "God, I want to receive your gift, not just facts about you, not just knowledge about you, but I want to receive the gift of peace that comes through you, your Son, your Spirit, your peace." The first thing Jesus wants us to understand about the kind of peace he brings is that it's a gift, and therefore we must receive it. But that's not all he teaches us. He also says to us that peace is volitional. We must choose it. Peace is a gift. We must receive it. But also peace is volitional and we must choose it. Look at verse 27. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The word trouble is an interesting word here. It literally means stirred up or agitated or unsettled. In other words, what Jesus is naming here are the two primary peace stealers in our souls. We know them as anxiety and fear. And notice what Jesus is gently provoking us with here. He's saying, we let our hearts feel these things. See, it's easy for us to fall into a victim mentality about our lack of peace. We can easily find ourselves thinking, well, I'm fearful or I'm anxious and there's really nothing I can do about it. See, Jesus begs to differ. He says, no, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Don't let these things rule in your heart. In other words, listen, the fact that you've received the gift of peace does not guarantee a state of peace. You with me? The fact that you've received the gift of peace does not guarantee a state of peace. You still have got to choose peace every day. You've got to let your heart rest in the peace of Jesus. There's a volitional component to the experience of the peace that Jesus offers. Listen, for those of you who find yourselves troubled by anxiety or fear or both, for those of you that recognize in your soul the challenge of that struggle on a regular basis, I want you to hear Jesus' words here, not as confrontation, but as invitation. Jesus is not saying to you, stop it. What's wrong with you? Get over your anxiety and fear. Rather, what he's saying is, you don't have to go there anymore. You're invited to choose peace. You're invited to let not your heart be troubled or afraid. You can rest in me. Come to me. Rest in me. Know my peace. Peace is volitional. We must choose it. There is work to be done in the deep recesses of our hearts to ground our souls in the peace Jesus offers. To deal with the things that we allow to trouble us and to make us afraid. Peace is a gift. We must choose it. We must receive it. Peace is volitional. We must choose it. So here's the question, right? Okay, great. So if Jesus is offering me peace in him and I need to receive that gift, and then if there's this volitional choice I need to make to do the battle in my soul, to rest in Jesus' peace, how do I do that? What does that look like? I want you to notice the final thing Jesus teaches us in this passage, and that is this. Peace is promise-driven. We must hear and believe. Notice how this whole passage puts emphasis on what Jesus has said, what he has spoken. Look again with me, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 28. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Listen, friends, peace is found in hearing and believing what Jesus has said. This is why the Word of God, the truth of God, the promises of God are so central to the experience of peace. Listen, there are a lot of things in the world that really do disturb our peace, right? Maybe you've had something happen this week or this month or this year that's shaken you, that's unsettled you, that's left you with turmoil. And you know as well as I do that in that situation, pious platitudes about peace just don't cut it, right? When you lack peace, when your soul is unsettled, you don't need coffee cup cliches. You need an anchor for your soul. You need promises that are bigger than your circumstances. You need promises that remind you of God's steadfast love and faithfulness to His people. You need your soul to be gripped by promises like these. I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, verse 2. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. John 16, 33. I will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. Behold, I am making all things new. Revelation 21. Christianity, friends, is a promise-driven faith. Peace comes through hearing and believing the great promises of God to His people. Peace is promise-driven. We must hear and believe. We must take in the Word of God, rest in the promises of God, and let them sink down and affect our hearts and our souls. Jesus says to His disciples, telling you this so that when it does take place, you may believe. Friends, when the angels announced to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill to men, they meant it. Jesus came to bring peace. Peace is a gift. We must receive it. Peace is volitional. We must choose it. Peace is promise-driven. We must hear and believe. And if we will receive peace and choose peace and believe the promises God has made to us in Jesus, we can become a people who are at peace, even in the midst of a world at war. And listen, that's exactly how Jesus intends to bring peace on earth. All right, think about this. What good would it do for God to restrain all evil and war between nations while allowing the evil and war in our hearts to fester? That's not peace, right? That's just a ceasefire. What Jesus is out to do instead is to so transform human beings by His grace that they are overwhelmed with peace at the core of their being. That their disposition increasingly becomes one of peace, one of rest, one of full-hearted trust in God and in His goodness. And when that happens in people, they increasingly become peacemakers and peace bringers in the world. See, friends, here's the story of the Bible. Here's the story we live in the middle of in Advent. One day, Jesus is returning to usher in His kingdom of peace. One day, Jesus will return to deal with all the injustice and all the oppression and all the evil systems and all the broken structures and all the sinful rulers in the world. He will bring justice and righteousness and peace. That's the second advent. That's what we wait for as we sort of live here in between the first coming of Christ and his return. And in the meantime, as we wait for that, Jesus is bringing his peace to earth one soul at a time. One life at a time. One human being at a time. And so Jesus really does offer us this Advent peace. Jesus really is bringing peace on earth, just maybe a little slower and a little more counterintuitively than we might imagine. He wants to make us a people of peace, a people dominated by peace, a people who then work for peace and pray for peace and long for peace in the world, and who are increasingly able, because we're governed by the Prince of Peace, to pursue peace in our relationships, right? Your family Christmas can be more peaceful because the Prince of Peace lives in you. That's the starting place. That's the starting place. So let me ask two questions this morning. What's stealing your peace this Advent season? What do you find yourself harried by, troubled by, concerned about? What is it that steals your peace and robs you of a sense of peaceful rest this Advent season? Identify that thing. And then here's the second question. What gospel promises do you need to hear anew and believe afresh? What promises that God has made in Scripture can begin to soften that sense of trouble? What do you need to hear and believe that God has said that can begin to speak directly to that lack of peace in your heart? And then maybe if I can add a third question too. What would it mean for you to then move outward as an agent of peace? Where do you need to seek peace in relationships? Where do you need to act in peace toward another person? Jesus really has come to bring peace on earth. And friends, peace on earth starts with me. It starts with you. So let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. Would you join me? Jesus, we've already confessed this morning that we are a world at war. We are a people at war within ourselves. And so we want to rest and trust this morning in these very promises. We want to hear you say again to us, Lord Jesus, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus, would you help us hear and receive those words as life for our souls this morning? Would you speak those words in a fresh way over us this morning? Would you speak them down deep into the places in our hearts and souls that lack peace, where we're riddled with anxiety and fear and frustration and concern? Would you this morning renew your peace in our souls? Father, where there is sin that we need to repent of, would you make it clear by your Holy Spirit? Where there is unbelief that we're comfortable with, would you provoke it by your Spirit? Where there's a lack of knowledge of your promises, would you remind us of them through your word and your people so that we can rest in them? Spirit of God, would you make us this Advent a people of peace? That we might know your peace and be bringers of your peace into the world around us. And even as we pray all this, Father, we never stop praying for peace on earth. And so when we think about Aleppo, when we think about refugees crossing the Mediterranean Sea, when we think about the state of the world in Iraq and every other place on earth where there's a lack of peace, would you bring comfort to your people? And would you show us what it means to live as agents and emissaries and workers for peace? To bring peace to our souls and peace to our world, we pray. In your name and for your glory. Amen.